Alhamdulillah, with the Fazal Karam and Ihsan of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak has allowed for us to gather here to make some mudhakara of some aspect of this beautiful deen that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. So we will try and discuss one hadith sharif. The hadith sharif is narrated by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, who is the son of Amirul Mu'mineen Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now we are coming to Ramadan Sharif. So just one thing on the life of Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Amirul Mu'mineen, that once some people came with a request to him from another area. There's no now, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he was ruling over almost 2/3 of the then known world. So they came to him with a request that he should allow some leniency in the diet of the people. The armies, etc., that are going out, they are finding the food that Umar radiallahu ta'ala had stipulated for them, they're finding it very difficult. So must please put some leniency, allow them to eat a little bit more, a food that is more palatable to them. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala thought about it. Initially he was against it, and he said that, you know, aren't you happy to eat the food that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala whom are eating, that I am eating, etc.? So they explained to him, they said that, look, these people, before Islam, they were used to very, very fine types of food. And now they are finding our type of food very difficult for them to eat. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he thought about it a little bit. And then he told them, okay, he said that, look, what you must do is every day, in the morning, slaughter one goat and take some flour so you can make some bread, and then they can eat this bread and that meat. And in the evening, again slaughter another goat and take some flour and make some bread and meat to eat. So he stipulated this diet for them every day. This was to be their diet every day. That every day they can have some meat and some bread. After giving this ijazat, after giving this permission, so the people were quite happy that alhamdulillah they will have something to eat now. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that, see, I'm giving this laxity, I'm allowing for this. However, deep down, I am not in favor of this. And I feel that a people who will become used to eating this type of food, it will be the cause of their own destruction. Now today, we must look into our life and we must check that what is our type of food. He was giving them permission to eat bread and meat every day of their life. They must eat the same thing and that would be their food. And yet he said that, look, people who are going to get used to eating this type of food, it will be a cause of their destruction. Now in today's zamana, let us look at the type of food, the varieties, etc., that we are eating, and then ask ourselves how we are destroying ourselves. And if you just have to ask the ladies, now all their shoulders are already paining because they are rolling pastries and they are rolling purr and don't know what and what. Fingers are paining, shoulders are paining. There is so much of pain that by the time Ramadan Sharif comes, they got no taqat to hold the Quran Sharif in their hand and read. Everything is already paining and they're already so tired and whatever. And I mention this almost every year, that Mubarak Gari, the type of food, especially we Indians, the type of foods that we have chosen to eat for breaking roza is a type of food that has to be prepared last minute. And that Mubarak hour between Asr and Maghrib, which is a Mubarak time for dua, Maulana just now was talking about dua, etc. Mubarak time for dhikrullah, for tilawat, for dua. In most homes, that time is spent in ghaflat. That time is spent with a deep fryer, packing iftar things and getting things ready for iftar. And in some homes it is so bad, inshallah it's not like that here in Greytown, but in some homes, the what you call men are so spoiled. The men are so spoiled that they have to have all these savories and everything, hot it must be. So the Imam Sahib is told in the masjid that, look, we need extra time between azan and namaz for Maghrib, because the men have to break their fast at home, eat their pies and chutneys and all these different things, and then they will come to the masjid. Then they'll come to the masjid to eat, and then after Maghrib, then is another meal after that. So I'm not saying you mustn't, feed your family, etc. But definitely, we have to try and become a little more simple. And the ajeeb thing is that sometimes you think that maybe the ladies, they want to get rid of all the men with cholesterol or something. I don't know what is the motive, right? Because the ladies themselves, they hardly eat anything. The ladies themselves, the mother in the house, she hardly eats anything. Some of them are worried about dieting, and some of them are worried about something and something. So they are hardly eating anything. But they're making all these foods, they got disagreements, and there's so much of fitna and fighting, etc., even in the house. So how a family unit was supposed to have been, with muhabbat, with unity, etc., how that family is supposed to be living, the entire ummah is supposed to be like that. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that la yadhlimuhu. He does not make zulam. That no Muslim will make zulam upon any other Muslim. No Muslim causes zulam upon any other Muslim. What is the meaning of zulam? When we talk about zulam, zulam is not only one country going without any justification and bombing another country. That is not only zulam. Zulam is any form of injustice. Any type of injustice is zulam. Now we will say, but we are not making zulam upon anybody, especially ladies in the house. They say, what zulam are we going to make? We are just sitting in our houses and we are cooking and cleaning and we are carrying on, but we are not making zulam upon anybody. So think about it. We as mu'mineen, right? We as mu'mineen, our main focus, our objective in this life is to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to live a life in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ultimately Allah ta'ala then out of His mercy will put us into Jannah, inshaAllah ta'ala. So that is our objective in this dunyavi life. Now I ask you as mothers, that let us take a stock and ask ourselves that we have got children. How much of effort am I making so that my child is successful in this main objective of life? How much of effort am I making? Do I even sit with my child and teach my child the madrasa sabak for the next day? Or is that also gone too difficult in today's time? Right? Then, do I sit and have ta'aneem in my home with my children? Now if I am not making the tarbiyat of my children, and if my only focus is my child's schooling, the homework must be up to date, sporting activities must be up to date, whatever essays and assignments and whatever they have to do, all that must be up to date. And I am not bothered whether the child of mine is reading namaz or not. But long as the homework is done, then I'm very happy. Sometimes it is so sad that we put so much of attention into my child's studies, be it secular studies or be it Islamic studies. That in a madrasa also, my child must come out first. In school also, my child must come out first. But Fajr time, my child is not reading namaz. The child can come out first in the madrasa. The report can be powerful. We can take the report now and show it to Nani and Nana and Dadi and Dada and Khala and everybody, because we are so proud of our child's report. Right? But Fajr time, where is that report? Then when my child is leaving the house, is my child wearing a scarf on her head? If she is baligha, is she gone in niqab and hijab? Now if I am not instilling those values into my child, then I am making zulam. It is an injustice. It is an injustice. I am not teaching my child those things and assisting my child to be successful. Success is not only success in the dunya. Dunya is something that is short-lived. Success is something in the akhirat. Right? So, la yadlimuhu wa la yuslimuhu. And a Muslim never ever hands over another Muslim to the enemy. You know. Now this is more at the time of war. One Muslim will not betray another Muslim. A Muslim will not hand over a Muslim. So it doesn't really apply to us so much in our situation, because we don't really have this. However, when we are taking, now you take a town like Grey Town, I don't think you got any university here. No university. There is schools, maybe high schools, but I don't think you got any university. So if a daughter of Grey Town wants to take up some degree, right? Some degree in secular studies. So what do we do with that child now? We send the child away to Pietermaritzburg, or we send the child away to Johannesburg. The other day I met one youngster. So I asked him, "By what you doing here?" Now his father is late, his father has passed away. He was in Durban. I said, "By what you doing here?" So he said, No, my sister is going back to university, so we came to drop off." So I asked him, "So where is she going to university?" He said, "No, she's going to Port Elizabeth." Are we not handing our children over to the kuffar? I'm not saying that that is the actual meaning of this hadith. But we are doing exactly this. We are handing our children over. I'm using the example of a girl because it's worse. But for that matter, even a boy. We hand our children over 5 years, 6 years. By the time they come back, we don't even know who our children are. Sometimes the child has even become murtad, we don't even know about it. The other day I read out one email for the students from one student in the university. And the words that that child is writing, that child is thinking that, no, I'm very intellectual, asking certain questions and whatever. But the statements that the child is making, the child has already lost their iman. One student told me today, one student, he was studying in the university, he comes from a good home, alhamdulillah. So he told me that, "I went to university, I was studying law. I was studying law, I did 1 year. So after 1 year, I started questioning everything about deen. So he said, no man, I can't, this is not a cause that I want to do, it's making me go off. So he said, no, he told his parents, no, I want to change my cause. So he says the type of subjects he did, whatever he could have went away into accounting field. So he went now into the accounting field. So he says he did 2 years in the accounting field. But he found the same thing. Then he's starting to question everything. He goes for a bayan, he wants to question everything that he is hearing. He reads something, he wants to question everything. He said, before I used to accept that this is my deen, but now I'm questioning everything. So now he says he went to his parents, he said, no, I don't want to do this thing. I don't want to go back to university. I'd rather go into some business or do something else, but I don't want to go back to university. Right? So this is what we are doing with our children. When from a young age we just instilling in them that your success is in schooling. You must go to school, you must go university, you must go high school, university, get a degree. Otherwise what you gonna do? Otherwise what you gonna do? How you gonna earn? How you gonna carry on? So this is a wrong ta'lim that we are giving to our children. It's a wrong ta'lim that we are giving to our children. If we will build our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala will take care of our rizq. But if we are going to build that child's yaqeen and tawakkul in degrees and schooling and university, then Allah ta'ala will leave us to that. Allah ta'ala will leave us to that. So that is the second point in the hadith. The third thing that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala narrates from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that man kana fi hajati akhi, kana Allahu fi hajatihi. That person who is in the assistance of his brother, is fulfilling some need of his brother, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be in his assistance, Allah ta'ala will be taking care of his needs. Right? Now how many times as a lady in the house, Allah ta'ala gives us this opportunity, whether it is with our children, whether it is with a daughter-in-law that has come into the house, whether it is with a new sister-in-law that has come in, whether it is with the aging set of in-laws, whatever the situation, a lady all the time, she can be in somebody's calm. She can be making khidmat of somebody. And if she is doing that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be taking care of her needs. Allah ta'ala will take care of her. Sometime it is noticed that a daughter-in-law comes into the house. Now the mother-in-law, instead of assisting that daughter-in-law, now she becomes like she is in a competition with the daughter-in-law. She still wants to show the daughter-in-law that, no, you see the son, his loyalties are with me. Loyalties will always be with the mother. The mother is the mother. But if this marriage is fine and the two of them are happy, won't it be better even for that mother and that father? So the mother is supposed to be assisting that new child that has come in. It's somebody's child. Is a ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do it with that intention, with that niyat, that look, this person has come in, I am going to be in the assistance of this person. If the daughter-in-law comes into that house and says, Allah Pak has put me in this house, I am now going to be in the assistance of my elderly mother-in-law. If everybody thinks like that, Allah ta'ala will be taking care of all our needs. All our difficulties, Allah Pak will be making it easy. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that وَمَنْ فَرَّجَ عَنْ مُسْلِمٍ قُرْبَةً فَرَّجَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ بِهَا قُرْبَةً مِنْ قُرَبِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. That any person who sorts out a difficulty, a problem for somebody, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in lieu of that, through that, Allah ta'ala will sort out that person's problem on the day of Qiyamah. Now what a big thing this is. What a big thing this is. We don't have time to go into much explanation. But it is similar as we discussed with the point before this. That so many times somebody is in a problem. Now, ladies, they won't be able to sort out problems what men can sort out. Somebody is driving and somebody got a puncture, the man can stop and help somebody to sort the puncture out. Right? Lady won't be able to do that. But a lady can do so many other things. Other things a lady can do. Her own child doesn't know sabak, that too is a difficulty. And now she teaches the child, she takes the time out to teach the child the sabak, she has sorted the problem. Sometime there may be a lady on the same street, and that lady is a revert to Islam. Or maybe she's a born Muslimah also, but she didn't really go to madrasa, she didn't really have that opportunity. And now her child is in madrasa. She can't even teach her child sabak. Now, you are going to teach your child sabak. You can assist and teach that child also that child sabak. Sometime when we talk about doing khidmat of deen, then only big, big things come to our mind. Right? But if there is somebody, some lady, some don't know how to read Quran Sharif, and you take the time out and just teach that person how to read Quran Sharif. This morning one lady phoned. She says that there is one revert lady who has gone through some divorce, etc. And now she has taken her under her wing and said, I'm checking up. The only thing she learned so far is Surah Fatiha and one Surah. So many years she was married to the Muslim man. But the only thing she learned is Surah Fatiha and one Surah. She doesn't know any du'as. She doesn't know anything else. So she says, now I want to keep her with me. And I want to start teaching her now. Surahs and duas and how to read Quran Sharif, etc. Now, if for a dunyavi problem, a person got a dunyavi problem, and you help that person to sort out the dunyavi problem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to sort out our problem on the day of Qiyamah. If somebody, you help somebody to sort out their problem in deen, what Allah ta'ala won't give that person? And the last point in this hadith Sharif, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that person who conceals the fault of a Muslim, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal that person's fault on the day of Qiyamah. Now this is something, wallahi, you know, it's very, very easy to read it. And when we read it, we say, no, I'm going to make amal upon it. But when the situation arises, then all of us fall down. Learned, general public, old, young, everyone. Because bad news somehow is very nice to talk about. You know, somebody else's fault is very nice to talk about. We think we got some classified information on somebody. Right? That makes us very, very important, and we need to pass this thing along. And now, who do we pass it along with? With our own mother, our own sister, our best friend. Now one is, as soon as we do this, we're making a ghibat, whatever, we're talking about somebody else's fault, we are exposing those people. On the one hand, the moment we do it, we have given away all our neki, right? All our sahab, we gave it away. And on the other hand, we have taken all that person's guna. Now that much wasn't enough for us. Our mother, who grew us up, changed us, looked after us, stayed awake, brought us up. Now we put her in the same soup also. The ma to be you to give all your neki away, and you to take all the person's guna. Then that too is not enough. We have to phone our sister and tell our sister also. So the whole family, we made the whole family bankrupt. By making ghibat and talking other people's faults, disclosing people's faults and making ghibat amongst ourselves, we made the whole family bankrupt. So we have to assist one another to get out of this habit of talking ill of people. One message came on the phone, finish now. Send it around. Forward this thing to that one, forward it to this one. It's become a big fitna. Now, shaitan is very, very chalak. Now even in Ramadan we'll be doing all these things. In our roza too, we won't know what is the situation, whether we are getting any sawab for the roza, or we just off the hook because we kept the fast. But are we going to get the real perks of that roza or not? So we have to be very, very careful, put ourselves right. Ramadan Sharif is coming. We all know our weaknesses, etc. We must, you know, work on it. Ijtima is this weekend. Make a lot of dua for the success of the ijtima. Allah Ta'ala make it a means of hidayat, our hidayat and hidayat of entire mankind. Allah Ta'ala reward all those making effort towards the ijtima, all the calm, etc. that is taking place. Allah Ta'ala reward each and every person, make many, many jamaats come out. They must go to the four corners of the world, and more hidayat must spread. Hidayat must spread in the four corners of the world. Each person that passed away without iman, it must pain us. This is one more person is going to go to Jahannam. So make a lot of dua for the ijtima. And Ramadan Sharif is coming up. From now, we must start talking less, eating less, speaking less, associating less, delete all those chat groups and whatever, right? And get into a tartib, get into a timetable, so that we really reap from this Mubarak month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with. You know, we're still hopeful. We don't even know whether we will live to see it. But we are hopeful. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Allah Pak give us barakat in this remaining days of Shaaban and give us hayati to witness the Mubarak month of Ramadan. Give us sihat, keep us with afiyat, and give us tawfiq that we can do maximum. And then also, we mustn't be just Muslims for Ramadan. Ramadan is a recharge, but Allah Ta'ala must give us hidayat for life, that we remain upon sirat-i-mustaqim and we pass away upon iman in a condition that Allah Ta'ala is happy and pleased with us. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليه. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.